We are in Why Christians Experience Stress, Anxiety, and Depression. It's the first lesson of the new year. It's been several weeks since we have been on this study. I want to complete 2 Corinthians 10 tonight. We have two major things we want to look at, and then we will draw this study to a close. I want to study the seven-headed dragon of the soul, dealing with things like fear, bitterness, shame, that so many Christians experience. And then I want to close it with who you are in Christ. We have been studying all along that the solution is being and living who you are, and living who you are in Christ. And so we need to compile and look through some of the things that we are in Jesus Christ, and mostly those that are pertinent to our study here. But tonight, let's complete 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It's one of those kind of lessons. We could be out of here shortly after 8 or shortly after 11. So let's, I'll probably be the only one here if I go that far, but what are y'all shaking your head that far? So let's begin with a word of prayer. It boggles the mind, Heavenly Father, how many Christians in this country suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression in their daily life. How many Christians are dependent on various prescription drugs and things to help them make it through it. It's especially amazing, Heavenly Father, when we consider that you have already provided everything necessary and it's free, as everything is through grace. I pray, Father, that tonight you'll give me the words to speak to make this thing so real and so easy to understand that those who desire to end their life of SAD will do so. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Since it's been a while, let's read from verse 3. Although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. I think both here and on tape are familiar with the correctness of all that's going on here. For the weapons, spiritual warfare, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful, God the Holy Spirit, for the destruction of fortresses. This is one of the reasons that God has given to us the Holy Spirit. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing, every lofty thought raised up or exalted against the knowledge of God, the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And here's in this verse, the end of stress, anxiety, and depression, once we reach that point of taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The phrase, the knowledge and things that are lifted up, raised up against the true knowledge of God. I want to comment as we enter this new year and enter this study tonight about this. I don't know if I ended the last tape. If I did, I'm sorry for the repetition of those of you who listen one tape right after another. But I want to say it, if we didn't cover it, and even if we did. If you're suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression, you want to know God in truth. Know what kind of God He is. And I can't be more serious and more explicit and ending stress, anxiety, and depression in your life, what kind of God is our God? What all He has already provided you, done for you, that you do not have to suffer stress, anxiety, and depression. Now, I know there are many Christians who have a view of God, and their view of God is that you should suffer. And I know that. If you want to listen to them, fine. Because there are many preachers and there are many Christians who believe their view of God is they believe you should suffer. You deserve to be miserable. You deserve to deserve the misery that you're in. And they actually take a comfort. Now listen, they actually take a comfort in your suffering. And why do they take a comfort in your suffering? Because it confirms their view of God. If you're not in stress, anxiety, and depression, and you failed in life, if you're not there, then their view of God, they don't understand why, how you can be so strong and so peaceful with God. Because their view of God is that you should suffer. I encourage you to get away from these friends of Job, and they'll help you begin your return from stress, anxiety, and depression. Get away from those believers who are the servants of Satan and Satan's lie, and come to know the truth about God. Our passage says, and we take every captive, every thought captive, to the obedience of Christ. There's one statement that announces the process of ending SAD in your life. This is it. We take every thought, captive, to the obedience of Christ. Now, process. As the strongholds in your soul come down, and we've spent a long time on these strongholds now, so we'll look at your notes again, but as the strongholds in your soul come down, this has to happen first, this is what will start happening in your soul. You'll start taking every thought captive and it'll be to obedience of Christ. But first, we must allow the Holy Spirit to tear down the strongholds. Let's take a look at our phrase, taking captive. It's a participle. The present participle. The continuing, ongoing thing. This isn't going to happen overnight. And I encourage you to understand this is why most people like drugs or alcohol, because you get instant relief. Get instant relief. But it's not curing anything, but you sure get relief from your stress, don't you? And your anxiety and your depression. They've got drugs that'll do that. The present tense here says this is a process between you and God that this can happen. We have strongholds in our soul, and these strongholds take captive. And this is what happens. The strongholds take captive of our spiritual life. They take it under control, keeping us from living moment by moment who we are in Jesus Christ. But as the Holy Spirit tears down the strongholds of the soul, something else starts going on in our soul. We can start taking captive ourselves. Rather than being taken captive of, we start taking captive. Present participle of the verb, or the word that means to take a prisoner. And this is always going on in your life. And the ending of SAD is being won. Now, let's talk about our captives. Who or what are we taking captive? Let me tell you right up front, not people and not circumstances. This is not a control word of controlling circumstances and controlling people. That's not going to end SAD in your life. It's inside of you. Every thought. I want to spend a few moments on the word every thought. The Greek word means to perceive. Perceive. It means a thought, a concept of mind. We're not battling people. There's no bloodshed here. We're not battling circumstances. There's no taking control of circumstances in our lives. This is what's going on inside of us, thoughts. Concepts, how we interpret all the things that are going on in our lives and the things that have gone on in our lives in the past as far back as your youth, your childhood. Every thought. Now, there's a lexicon that does even a better job for us. Let me give it to you. Every creation of thought. And I want, if you are a note taker, please write that down because I want you to think about what you're writing down. Every creation of thought. Every origin of thought. Now think about this. Point one. There's 2 points here. One, we have seen that stress, anxiety, and depression is a voluntary thought. I hope that you've accepted that in your journey here of ending stress, anxiety in your soul. And we've seen that it is not involuntary. We choose to be stressed. We choose to be depressed. It's a voluntary thought from inside of us. It's in response to what is going on in our life and your interpretation of it. Not so much what is going on in your life, but your interpretation of it. Now, point two. Where does the thought originate? What's the origin of our thought? Where does thought originate? Now, don't get scared. This is not a philosophy class. I had to take some in college. This is not a philosophy class. We're not going to go into all of that kind of stuff. We're going to stay with the Bible, dealing with what this word is dealing with. Where does thought originate? That sounds kind of weird, that kind of question. Where does it originate? Where do my thoughts originate? Now that's what more of what the Greek word here is dealing with, the origin of thought. As one lexicon states it, every creation of thought, every product of human thinking faculty is what we're dealing with. The creation of a thought that comes out of our flesh brain, our flesh thinking, is what we're dealing with here in this study. So let's quickly go to a concept. Your thoughts have an origin. Your thoughts have an origin. Remember now, your stress, anxiety, and depression come from your thoughts. Two, your thoughts have an origin. So we've got two very important things dealing with those of you that are experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression. There are voluntary thoughts, and thoughts have an origin. Now, what is the origin of thought? Well, there are two origins of thought inside of our soul. The first one, flesh. From our flesh nature, the nature in which we were first created by physical birth. The second one, from the power of the Holy Spirit who God has provided you. We'll not go over it, but last night in our study of Revelation, we noted Galatians chapter 3. We were dealing with the phrase how John was taken by the Holy Spirit into the Lord's day. And we noted, spent some time on what does it mean to be under the power of the Holy Spirit. For this study tonight, your flesh thinking is going to come from your flesh, or it is going to come from the power of the Holy Spirit. Something happens in your life, your immediate thoughts are going to originate from either of these two sources. Something happens to you, your husband does or doesn't do something, your wife does or doesn't do something, your children does or do or do not do something, the government, life, your boss, something happens to you or doesn't happen to you, there's an immediate thought. And it's from one of two sources. You will think, you will create a thinking, interpreting what is going on from either the flesh or the Holy Spirit. And it is up to you from which you draw from. AM or FM that we have studied. AM or FM. Please look with me, if you will, at Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. One of the important chapters in the New Testament dealing with the Spirit to your life and what walking in the power of the Spirit's about and what it means and these kinds of things, what it means to be spiritual. So let's look at Galatians, the primer of all of Paul's writing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And in chapter 5, verse 16, Paul says, "But I say, walk." Now walking here, activity in life that is directed from within. I say, walk by the Spirit. And you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Desires of flesh thinking. Verse 17. For the flesh. What does that mean? What does that mean for the flesh? The flesh here means flesh thinking. Thinking that originates from the flesh. Interpretation to what's going on in your life originates from the flesh. That's FAM, Adamic mindset. So I immediately go into the flesh, and my flesh is going to create the thoughts that are going to interpret what is going on to me, and then the result is stress, anxiety, and depression. For the flesh sets its desires, and the desires of the flesh are going to determine the creation of whatever thoughts are going to come be created against the Spirit, FM. And the Spirit, FM, faith mindset, against the flesh, Adamic mindset. Remember what we saw in this simple little analogy. You got a radio in your car. You got AM, FM. You don't get them both. The same box, same little radio, but you don't get both in one thing. You either got to be on FM or AM. Got to be one or the other. Well, that's what we're looking at. You got the same brain, same soul structure, but you're either going to be in the flesh or you're going to be in the Spirit. It's up to you. And the more of the strongholds and Satan's lie we allow the Holy Spirit to destroy, the easier it will be to have every thought come from your Spirit. The easier. And people, it's up to you. It is up to you. That's the first thing I hope you will grasp. It is up to you when you get that call and your child has been killed out on a highway, which we've used before as a reason I'm using again. If before you even put the phone down, you start blaming, you start falling apart, stress and depression take over, you've made a decision. How I'm going to interpret this by my flesh mindset. I'm going to be in the flesh. Or, as that information comes through, you make a decision to be in the power of the Spirit and let Him direct your thinking. It's up to you. That makes all the difference in the world. The things that happen in your life are going to bring you stress or not. They're going to bring you anxiety and depression or not. It's up to you, people. And I'm sorry, but it is that simple. You don't need a doctor. You don't need drugs. You don't need all this stuff. You have inside of you what God gave you. He gave you FM and AM. And you get to decide which one you want to originate your interpretation. The way you're going to react is going to be determined by the origin of thought. That's what this Greek word is dealing with. The origin of thought. If I'm in the Holy Spirit and He is directing my thought, there are a lot of things that happen. And I'm going to be cruel to you. But a difference it makes when I get this announcement that something terrible has just happened. Somebody I love or to yourself. Start blaming. Start seeing doom. Start hating, becoming angry. Or the first thought out of your mind is a creative thought. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for who and what you are. And that I know that all things are under your control. And if you're just sitting here thinking with me, boy, that's just phony stuff. No, it isn't. It's real. It's very real. And you can do it. It's all entirely up to you. You can just immediately go into and have that thought that has originated, have the creative thought, have the thought created by the Holy Spirit in your human soul. It's going to direct your response. And if your response is that first thing I need to do as I hang up the phone, I need to go into prayer. If it involves someone else, your husband, your wife, or someone that's there, whatever, I need to go into prayer here. I need to get oriented to who and what God is, and to my life, and to who I am in Christ. You have just hit it off. You have just hit it off, the work of the strongholds in your soul. You just hit it off, stress, anxiety, and depression. Most people don't think that's real and think that can happen, and I'll tell you why, because very few Christians do it. Most of us handle things first in the flesh, and then maybe in the spirit. But it can be done. It's that simple. If you have your thought created of the things that happen in your life, your mindset about God, it's up to you. And I will add that the more you do this, the more stress, anxiety, and depression will be something of the past in your life, the more you do this. And the more you're thinking of God and of Christ, the fruit of the Holy Spirit starts taking over in your soul of inner peace, inner joy, and spiritual love. These things can be a reality in your soul the more that you do this. Right after 9-1-1 occurred, we had a class the following Sunday. And I dealt with the class, what would you do in a major disaster? What would you do? Because we all wonder what would happen if we had been in one of the Twin Towers in New York City. And what we do in our own lives when a disaster hits. Well, it's how you normally live. You take how you normally live, and that's probably how you're going to definitely act in the midst of a crisis. So if you can start training yourself, dear people, with anything and everything that happens in your life, getting your mindset created from the Holy Spirit, have the thoughts created from the Holy Spirit, interpreting what's happening in your life as to your view of who and what God is. And I pray that your view is the correct view of God. The more that you will do this when anything and everything happens in your life. But little things in the car, we live in a car generation, finance, the way we look, what happens to us, our children come home with a bad report card, whatever it may be, little to big. But as you day by day develop a habit, you develop a habit of interpreting things into who, as by who you are in Christ, you're going to eliminate stress, anxiety, and depression more and more and more and more in your life because you're tearing down the strongholds that created all of this. And God's just finally coming into play in your life because you're turning everything over captive to what? To who you are in Jesus Christ. So instead of the strongholds of Satan's lie, we now have every creative thought, the thought being created in our soul, coming from who we are in Christ. Remember the word speculations in the previous verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 10? The word speculations, considerations, and reflections preceding and determining conduct. That's what we're dealing with here. We dealt with the word logismos, the supreme activity, which continues, logismos, the supreme activity which constitutes man as he is. And here we're getting to who and what you are. Are you who you are in the flesh? Or are you who you are in the Holy Spirit? As a supreme function, it controls all others. It controls the way we thought and brings in the thought process. That's what we're dealing with. And when we're in the flesh, that controls us. But not anymore now. Not anymore. Now all speculations and interpretations are now captive. We've taken captive of them. That's what we're dealing with in this passage. To the obedience of Christ. Instead of being taken captive of us, know what it says in 2 Corinthians 10. We take captive. Instead of the thoughts taking captive of us, we take captive thoughts. We bring them into submission into who we are in Christ. To what Christ would have us to be, to the obedience of Christ. This means that all our thoughts, all our interpretations about ourselves, about our purpose, about our sins and failures and what others say, every thought is now submitted to Christ, not to others. Not to the preacher who calls you a loser. Not to your friends who try to burden you as Job's friends did. But to Jesus Christ and Him alone. To Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's what this passage says. Who you are in Him. What does it mean to the obedience of Christ? All right, I'll ask you a question. It's not a big deal. It's not difficult. What does it mean to obedience of Christ? All right? When did you first come and bring your thought to the obedience of Christ? Anybody here want to answer that? When did you first come to obedience of Christ? Faith of salvation. I bring all my thoughts into just trusting you, Christ. Not going to get involved in my sins. Not going to get involved in my failures. I'm not going to get involved in how horrible I was. I'm not going to get involved in how wonderful I am and that I can do something. I'm bringing every thought in the captivity of obedience to you. Just trust you. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 36. Obedience that God is looking for is our faith. It means that every thought, every interpretation is now submitted to Christ. Who you are in Him. Not to Satan's lie. What is the obedience of Christ? We saw this in Galatians chapter 2. To walk by faith. You now take every sin, Galatians chapter 5, excuse me. You now take every sin, every attack by your Christian friends that you're a loser. You make every one of these prisoners of war now. You take captive of it. See, what's going to start taking captive of it? I am a loser. I am undeserving of love. I am undeserving of being used by God. You capture that thought. You lay a garrison around that thought. You take captive of that thought and you submit it to Christ. You submit it to who you are in Jesus Christ. Now, you are who you are in Christ. You are not all those things those people have been saying. The things that have been causing the stress and the anxiety and the depression and the hurt and the pain in your soul. It's not who you are. It's who you are in Christ. That's reality. The strongholds in the world, preachers, others, Christians, if you're a loser, you want to take that captive. I am not those things. I am who I am in Christ. Your friends who will tell you, Job's friends, you deserve what is happening to you. Take that thinking into captivity. Don't let it flourish. Don't let it. Don't let it bear fruit in your soul. Barney Fife says, nip it in the bud. Nip it right away. You don't even let it get out. You put it into subjection to who you are in Christ. People, that is reality. It's a reality that the world can't see. We studied in Revelation that we are priests. That's who you are. We're going to end the study with all the things that you are in Christ. And then when we get there, I'm going to ask you a very important question. Do you have any right to be distressed or depressed when we start looking who you are in Christ? And if you can look at all the things that you really are and say, I have a right to be depressed, then I'm not communicating to you. Because once you realize who and what you are, see, the stress, anxiety, and depression comes because we have a figure of who and what we are in our mind and the world, and it isn't happening, and things are happening to us that don't deserve to be happening, and therefore I'm stressed and depressed and have anxiety. Doggone it, people, if I can get you to see who you are in Christ, more real than what you see yourself in this world. There is no stress, and there is no depression, and there is no anxiety if you see who you are in Christ. That's why we live by faith. See it. The eyes of faith. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, you don't have to turn here, but remember this. Proverbs 23:7, which seems to always be coming up, doesn't it? For as he thinks within himself, so he is.
So we have our Hebrew Greek words in 2 Corinthians 10 is the origin of thought, the creation of a thought in response to what's going on in my life. Then that's who you are. If it comes from your flesh, then that's how you are at that moment. If it comes to who you are in Christ, to the power of the Holy Spirit, that's who you are in Christ, people. And that's reality. I'm sorry to say that every Christian who does experience stress, anxiety, and depression, you're not living in reality. You're living in unreality. You're living in an imaginary world. You're living on a theatrical stage with all the spotlights and all of the sets, and it's all phony. It's not who you are. People used to say to Cary Grant, boy, they wish they could be like Cary Grant. I love what Cary Grant said. He said, I wish I could be like Cary Grant. Because the theater and the plays and the movies, they're a farce. They're theatrical. They're make-believe. And that's what you do every time you live in the flesh. It's make-believe. People, that has been crucified and it is dead. The worst things that can happen in the arrogance of an actor is to walk off and think that they are as great as what they were in that play and that movie. That's what happens to us. We think we are what we are in the flesh. And you're going to be depressed about it. But it's a lie. It's not who you are. And this is one of the most difficult things to teach, is to teach who you are in reality, who you are in Jesus Christ. So many Christians play this game so much with themselves. Who am I? Who am I really? Am I really this horrible person that fails and sins that caused Paul to say, oh, wretched man that I am? I am all those wonderful things that Jesus Christ says that we are. Now, I want to move to that study. Because then every night we study it, I don't know if it'll be one night or two nights, but every night we study it, I'm just going to say, now, you tell me you have a right. Tell God you have a right. Tell yourself you have a right to be depressed and stressed when we start looking at who you are in Jesus Christ. Problem is, most Christians deal with who they are in the flesh, and preachers preach about sin, and the preachers preach about obedience, and the preachers preach about all of this overt stuff. Very little preaching done on who you are in Christ. And we're going to spend some time on who you are in Christ, and you tell me you have a right to stress and depression. You do not. So every thought that will determine who you are at that given moment, in the flesh or in the spirit. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 3. The steadfast of mind. People, it all begins with us. Are you going to go to FM or AM? That's your decision. It's already known what's going to happen if you go to FM. It's already known what's going to happen if you go to AM. It's not up to you. The only decision you and I get to make is, am I going to think about who I am in Christ or who I am in the flesh? And then the flesh and Satan and the world take over, or the Holy Spirit takes over. I'm sorry, it's not of you. The steadfast of mind, we study that. God will keep in perfect peace. What is perfect peace? No stress, no anxiety, no depression. You keep your mind stayed on Him. The obedience, bringing all your thoughts obedience to Christ. And God will do something in response. God will do something in response. He will keep you. Keep you in perfect peace. Why? Because you trust in Him. Our part is simply to trust Him. His part, to keep us in peace. Remember things we noted about faith. Faith does not create this peace. God does. We do not know verse 4, excuse me, in our last study, but let's look at it now. Let's look at Isaiah 26, because I'd like to look at verse 4 with you. We didn't before because it wasn't at issue, but it is at issue now. We cannot put it together. Isaiah 26, verse 4. Verse 3 again. The steadfast of mind, that's your part, that comes first. That's your faith. Thou wilt keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in thee. Verse 4, therefore trust in the Lord in all circumstances. People, unbelievers have things that happen to them. Now, we've already studied how it is not related to the kingdom. Well, we didn't in this study. We studied it in Revelation, where the sufferings of the Christian are not related to like the sufferings of the world. Ours is related to the kingdom that we belong to. It's related to the kingdom to which we belong to. It's related to the spiritual warfare. And so, here we have trust in the Lord forever under all circumstances. No matter what happens in your life, trust in Him. Can you do that? Will you do that? Or do you need to go get a drink? Or do you need to go get a pill? Things are just too rough and I need to calm down. Or can you just keep trusting Him? Keep your mind set on Him and that He's in control. Therefore, trust in the Lord in all circumstances. He says forever in all circumstances. Again, the secret to a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression is found in just simply trusting Him. Can it be that simple, people? And that's the great issue you have to decide. Can it really be that simple? Was your salvation that simple? Was changing you into a new spiritual creation for all eternity as simple as just trusting Him? And why can't we believe that God can take away the stress and the depression in our souls without changing circumstances of our life? Trust in the Lord forever now. For in God, the Lord, we have a rock for all circumstances. Yes, it says everlasting rock, but let's get it down to what it means. We have a rock for all circumstances. We have a rock when you sin and you fail. We have a rock when your life falls apart and you get that phone call in the middle of the night. We have a rock when you don't like what's going on in your life and people are hurting you and things are not going right. Your marriage is falling apart. We have a rock continually, every circumstance, everlasting. A life free of stress, anxiety, depression. Centers on your view of God. Centers on your view of God. That's what we're studying in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10. Is there a God? Does He love you? Can He be trusted with your life? Oh, you can trust Him for all eternity. Wow. But you can't trust Him with the simple things that happen in life or even the more difficult things that happen in your life. You can't trust Him there. I can trust Him for eternal life, but I can't trust Him for the miserable thing that happened to me today. And for how unfair people are. Can't trust Him. No, I'd rather go over here and be stressed out. I'd rather go over here and be depressed because that puts me back into control. Or can I just simply trust Him? You will conquer more by faith than by flesh. You will conquer more by faith than by flesh. You will conquer more by a faith mindset than an academic mindset. You will conquer more by love than by hate and anger and resentment. You will conquer SAD by faith, not by changing circumstances, changing people. You will conquer SAD by faith, not by trying to be a better person. You will conquer SAD by love, not by hate and resentment and hurt in the soul. Get ready for this one because we're going to elaborate on it later. You will conquer SAD by forgiveness, not by holding something against someone, blaming, separating. How was the stronghold of Jericho defeated? How was the stronghold of Ai brought down? By the faith of the Israelites at that time. You know why you experience stress, anxiety, and depression? Because we're holding on to self. You're holding on to yourself, your self-image, and what you want. Let go of it, people. Let go of it. You let go of it, and just be who you are in Christ. And be content with who you are in Christ. Quit looking around. Quit holding on. The more you hold on to something, the more difficult it is to trust. The more you hold on to something, the more difficult it is to meet the demands of love. I recommend for all of you listening to this, if you have time, to get our study on When Love Grows Cold. It'll help you a lot in this study of stress, anxiety, and depression. It's a special that we did for Christmas, New Year's of 02. What God is looking for is our humility. What is humility? Humility is the one who simply will deny self and trust Him. That's what we have to do. Deny ourselves and trust Him. Okay, for our last time in this study, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We are destroying speculations, mystery, lofty thoughts, raised up, that is exalted, against the knowledge, the true knowledge of what God is really like. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Most Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression because of their view of God. Their understanding of God is a God small. Is a God so small? We limit God by our view of God. We limit God by our preconceived imagination and structure of God. This is one of Job's greatest problems in the study of the book of Job. Job had already set up and perceived what God is like, and God didn't act the way he thought God ought to act, and therefore Job went under great stress and depression. We limit God by our view, people. Can the strongholds of your soul be torn down by simply trusting Him? That's a fundamental question to you. You experience stress, anxiety, and depression. Can the strongholds that cause the stress and depression in my soul be torn down simply by trusting Him to do it? Can FAD be ended by just trusting Him? What's the view of God? Can I really receive eternal life if all I do is trust Him? Can I really be recovered from sin if all I do is trust Him? What's the view of God? Your view of God is why you're under stress, anxiety, and depression. Your view of God is how you'll get out from under it. Did you hear me? Your view of God is why you're in stress and anxiety and depression. And your view of God, a correct view of God, is how you're going to end SAD as far as your life is concerned. People, SAD is not from experience, it's not from others, and it's not from circumstances. It's because of what you believe. It's because of your thought process. I am in pain of SAD because of what I believe, not because of what is happening to me. You cannot stop the circumstances. You cannot stop what people are doing. But you can stop SAD by simply changing what you're thinking about God. How you interpret all these things. So in closing tonight, let's get it again. SAD is not from experience or circumstances. It's because of what you believe. You reach the point and say to yourself, I am in pain of SAD because of what I believe. What I believe about God, what I believe about myself, not because of what is happening. And if you can reach that point with me and say that and mean what you're saying there, that I am in pain or SAD because of what I believe, let's get to some proper thinking then. Let's get to some proper faith. What do I believe about God? People, is your God the kind of God that because something happened in your life or because you did something, you're dead for the rest of your life? He's going to separate? That's your view of God? So yeah, you're going to have a life of SAD. You better go get a bottle. You better get drugs. If that's your God. But I can give you something cheaper and easier. Just change the way you're thinking about God. Go and understand the true God. You've got a lot of stuff exalted above, against the true knowledge of God. And you probably got it from a preacher. You probably got it from some Bible teacher. But it's a lie. And what you want to do is go find out what the truth is. What kind of God do you have? What does he do about you? No, you can't change the circumstances and you can't change people around you. But you can change what you believe. You believe Satan's lie, that's how you're going to live. But I'm here to tell you that if you will believe what God says about you, then everything is going to change as far as your life is concerned. So many Christians, the very moment they are hearing truth about God and all they are in Christ, at that same moment, start tearing down strongholds. And you start seeing SAD go away from you. You believe who you are in Christ. You believe what kind of God he is. And you start living that. Stop listening to people. And start listening to God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he has to say. Faith is the beginning step in tearing down SAD. The beginning step in tearing down strongholds. A very beautiful verse in the Bible, the truth will set you free. And it said to believers, by the way, not unbelievers, the truth will set you free. People, God will set you free. Jesus Christ has set you free. And the Holy Spirit continues freeing you in your life, which means no more stress, anxiety, and depression if you just trust him. Let me close with that one more time. God will set you free. Jesus Christ has set you free. The Holy Spirit will continue freeing you in your life. And this means the end of stress, anxiety, and depression, and the freedom to be, to live, people to enjoy who you are in Jesus Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. God, what an awesome God you are. You found us as enemies. And you created us a new being. And then you find us trying to go back and resurrect that old being. And we're miserable. And instead of condemning and walking away and being resentful of us, you demonstrate even greater grace. You make it so easy for us to come back and be who we are in Christ, because that's your desire. That we enjoy the fullness of who we are in your Son. And I pray, Father, that in the year of 03, that members of the body of Christ who do experience stress, anxiety, and depression, who will respond to the truth of who and what you are, that your Spirit will miraculously get some of these lessons into their hands, and they will be set free. Free. We praise you, Father, for the God you are. In your Son's precious name, amen.